Imagine being Adnan Syed from the podcast Serial, convicted of murder despite weak evidence, while your defense lawyer misses key witnesses, shows poor organization, and repeatedly demands money from your family. Later, disbarred for mishandling client funds, this lawyer represents not an anomaly, but a window into America's dysfunctional justice system. Despite having more lawyers per capita than any other nation, the World Justice Project ranks America 27th in civil justice and 22nd in criminal justice globally. How can a country with so many legal professionals leave so many citizens without meaningful access to justice? The answer lies in a system designed by lawyers for lawyers, complex procedures that make navigation expensive, bar authorities that restrict competition, and a structure that advantages those with better representation. Despite the Supreme Court's promise of counsel for indigent defendants in Gideon v. Wainwright, the reality falls devastatingly short of the ideal. The reality for poor defendants is brutal and systematic. Criminal defense is radically underfunded compared to prosecution resources, creating impossible caseloads for public defenders. In New Orleans, one public defender had to handle 418 defendants in just 7 months, prompting a judge to quip, "Not even a lawyer with an S on his chest could effectively handle this docket." Courts have established a shockingly low bar for adequate representation. The infamous mirror test persists. If the court-appointed lawyer's breath fogs a mirror, that's considered sufficient. Defense attorneys who show up drunk, fall asleep during trial, or use drugs have been allowed to continue representing defendants in capital cases. Jimmy Ray Bromgaard served 14 years for a rape he didn't commit because his appointed lawyer did virtually nothing, meeting him once, hiring no experts, filing no motions, and failing even to appeal. Yet courts routinely find such representation adequate. This crisis affects everyone, not just those charged with serious crimes. Even DUIs carry severe consequences, with technical defenses beyond most defendants' abilities, while private representation costs thousands. The civil court landscape is equally bleak. While simple legal matters can sometimes be handled through self-help resources, most civil issues require expertise unaffordable to middle and working-class Americans. Legal aid services are severely limited, typically helping only those below 125% of the federal poverty line and prioritizing emergencies. Most Americans with complex legal needs must lump it, abandoning valid claims or accepting unfavorable terms. The numbers tell the story. 75% of family matters in Maine courts, 88% of tenants facing eviction in New York City, and 80% of California family law cases involve at least one unrepresented party. The inequality is stark. One legal aid attorney per 6,415 poor people versus one private attorney per 429 people generally. While firms advertise $500 divorces, these apply only to the simplest cases. Contested divorces quickly become unaffordable with hourly rates of $200 to $500 and retainers often exceeding $10,000. Court staff face strict limitations on assistance they can provide, creating a catch-22 where those most needing guidance cannot receive it. Early American justice was remarkably accessible, with procedures simple enough for literate citizens to represent themselves. During the Jacksonian era, governments actively deprofessionalized courts as part of a broader attack on cultural elites. From the 1880s onward, civil courts became increasingly lawyer-dominated as urbanization, industrialization, and immigration drove greater reliance on formal legal structures. Bar associations, judges, and law professors made court procedures so formal that only trained lawyers could navigate them, devastating immigrants and the poor who faced predatory landlords, employers, and lenders without legal recourse. Legal aid funding, after growing during the War on Poverty, has declined 63% since the 1980s. This worsening problem stems from expensive legal education, our adversarial system's expectation of capable representation on both sides, legislative indifference to funding, judicial reluctance to mandate specific funding, and the fact that high defense caseloads fuel America's plea-driven system. American lawyers uniquely regulate themselves through state supreme courts, insulating the profession from public oversight and hampering reform efforts. Despite these challenges, technology is revolutionizing access to justice. Colin Rule's eBay and PayPal online dispute resolution system handles over 40 million annual disputes with remarkable efficiency. The system begins with automated problem solving, followed by computer-driven negotiation, with human intervention only as a last resort. This approach settles approximately 90% of disputes without human input and increases customer satisfaction even among those who lose their disputes. Legal technology startups are flourishing, with venture capital investment jumping from $66 million in 2012 to $458 million in 2013. Unlike traditional legal services that chase lucrative corporate work, these startups target the underserved poor and middle-class market. Technology has transformed access to legal materials and documents through free court forms and resources. California's online self-help center attracted over 4 million visitors in 2010 alone. The A2J author platform creates interactive interviews that guide users through form completion in plain language. LegalZoom and Rocket Lawyer have moved toward subscription models, offering unlimited attorney support for as little as $9.99 monthly. These innovations are just the beginning of a technological revolution that could democratize legal services. Judge Fern Fisher exemplifies the fight to reform America's courts. A Harvard Law graduate who began as a Harlem legal aid lawyer, Fisher witnessed firsthand how the system favored landlords with attorneys against unrepresented tenants. After becoming a housing court judge, she ensured fair treatment for all litigants and eventually led New York State's Access to Justice program, adopting the A2J online document platform and creating systems to help tenants file answers to eviction actions. Courts nationwide are experimenting with pro se assistance through websites, videos, and forms. California leads reform with self-help centers in every county staffed by dedicated personnel. A more radical redesign would adopt an inquisitorial approach where judges and clerks take greater control, significantly helping unrepresented litigants. This approach already exists in American small claims courts and administrative proceedings, settings where research shows lawyers make little difference in outcomes. Online dispute resolution technology can resolve disputes with minimal human involvement, particularly for common case types with recurring issues and settlements. Like battlefield medics triaging patients, criminal defense requires principled resource allocation. Effective triage would separate cases needing full representation from those that don't, using charge severity as the natural dividing line. For serious cases, resources must increase significantly, reducing caseloads from hundreds to dozens. For minor cases, legislatures should create simplified lawyer-free courts similar to traffic or small claims courts. The UK and Australia demonstrate promising legal deregulation, allowing non-lawyers to provide legal advice and permitting alternative business structures. This has spawned innovations like supermarket-based legal services, offering affordable assistance across multiple practice areas. America faces a justice paradox. Our legal system has become too expensive for most citizens to access. Rather than pursuing failed approaches like increased legal aid, we must simplify justice itself, using technology to build systems centered on pro se litigants. The future isn't more lawyers, it's smarter systems empowering ordinary citizens to navigate legal problems effectively and affordably.